Okay, little review. How you doing today? How you feeling in your physical body? And you are healed. You are healed. Don't be moved by what you feel. Be moved by what you believe and speak what you believe. Let your faith do the walking and the talking. Now turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And go to chapter 5. I want you to look to verse 6. It says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, in these bodies of ours, we are absent from the Lord." Now verse 8 says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." What's right in the middle? Verse 7. Help me here. We walk by, not by. So verse 9 then says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." And what does Hebrews 11:6 say? "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So last week, we talked about faith versus feelings. And we start with faith sees the answer. So the title of today's message, Faith Sees the Answer. And we learned that faith is not something which we have as much as it is something we do. Something we do. And that little word do, two letters, D-O, means to perform an action. Faith is action. Faith is something we do. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to see here a woman who actually showed us her faith in action. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Her physical ailment grew worse. All the doctors treating her couldn't make her any better. She grew worse." Well, her ailment, it was affecting her financially. She had spent all that she had. If she spent all that she had, she was broke. She was broke. So it had attacked her financially. And it affected her emotionally. It said, she had what? Suffered many things. And you know, when you're suffering a lot of things, your emotions just run wild. But it was affecting her spiritually. She had given up all hope there was. That's the way she was feeling. 12 years. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. 12 years. Never having a day let up. But, verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she heard about Jesus, and what she had heard about Jesus was that He healed all that came to Him for healing. anyone that had touched him was made whole. See, it was that contact with him, the touch, that brought about that healing. That's what she heard. She heard how he walked into the multitudes and they reached up and touched him and they were healed. For her, hope returned. Hope returned. And what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A simple touch. A simple touch. Okay. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Touched his garment. If somebody's standing there, just comes up and touches your garment, you think you'd feel that? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I don't think there was any doubt in her words there. I shall be made well. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately upon contact, she went fully expecting to be healed. See, and by expectation, I do not mean hope. We hope for what may be possible, but we expect what must be possible. And with expectancy, she shut out the doors of doubt, fear of failure, and she showed unshakable confidence. She had no doubt about it. One touch of the Master, and she would be healed. Expectancy. Expectancy means it's possible. Hope means maybe you think it's impossible. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Her faith in action had tapped into the very power source in Jesus, the Holy Spirit. For by the Holy Spirit, Jesus did all his healing while he was on the earth. Her touch made a spiritual connection. For that monitor to work, it has to be plugged into a power source. And when it plugs into that power source, it will work. We have to tap in, like she did, to the power source. And the power source is the Holy Spirit. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it says that's what powered Jesus while he was on this earth. The Holy Spirit that was in him. But see, it says there then that his disciples are looking around and saying, in verse 31, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? See, he knew, because when you plug into a power source like we do here for Duquesne Light, believe me, they know you tapped into the power source. That meter outside spins. It spins. So it knows, and they know, and Jesus knew when she touched him, as light as that touch was, that spiritual connection, that plug, was like shoved all the way in that socket. Verse 32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, fearing and trembling because of her condition. She shouldn't have been out in public. She was considered unclean. And so, wherever she went, whatever, when she slept on her bed during this time, it was an unclean bed. So you didn't touch the bed. If she sat in a chair during this period, it was unclean. Don't sit in that chair because you would be unclean. And if you came in contact with her, you were considered unclean by Levitical law. By her touching Jesus, guess what? She knew they was going to make him unclean. She pushed all that aside, every bit of it. And she went and she touched his garment. Knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And we know that the truth will set one free. And he said to her, in the most compassionate way he could, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That means safely. "And be healed of your affliction." Her faith in action made her safe from the punishment that she could have received for being out in public in the condition that she was. And in fact, touching him. Go in peace. Go safely. So nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to touch you, is what he's saying to her. And what else did she attain? Because she stepped out in faith, her protection and her healing. It got her healed. A simple touch of his clothing. Faith in action, plugged in, never fails. Never fails. And it's the same for us today. If we will just reach out and touch him. Some are saying, "Well, he's not here. How can I touch him?" By believing his promise. This is a sure way of touching Jesus for anything he has promised. And as there's so much that he has promised in his word for us. So much. We touch him by asking and believing that he hears our prayers when we pray. So when? When you pray. When the woman touched him, it was her faith that made her whole. This was not a mere physical touch. It was but a spiritual one. For it is the Holy Spirit that quickens. And that means gives life. She tapped right in. We have seen that faith is not hoping here. That we will see the answer in the future. That's not what it's about. It's not future. Faith is believing that we have the answer now, today. Don't let your mind get in the way of the spiritual happenings here. It's a spiritual connection. Your head's going to go against everything because of the natural human world that we live in. But there's a supernatural. When you tap into the Holy Spirit, things happen. Things will begin to happen. The eyes of faith see the answer as already happened. Not that it's going to, it's already happened. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Look to verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Notice that the scripture says, do not let them, my words, is what he's saying, depart from your eyes. See, many people fail because they see themselves as failing. When they take a test, they say, I know I'm not going to pass. They already see themselves as failing. If they're sick, they think of themselves as dying. God's word says, Jesus took our asthenia and removed our nosos. Asthenia means weakness, feebleness of health in the body, or sickness. Nosos means disease, nothing else. It means disease. When you look it up, I go, okay, there's no more. This disease. So that's why in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, New Living Translation, he, Jesus, took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. If I go down there and walk up to my elder sitting there, Elder Denny, and I take his iPad, he doesn't have it anymore. Because I took it. And when he says he removed our diseases, removed means it's gone forever. It's removed from the present place. It's no longer here. Removed. He removed it. It's not there anymore. You know, when you're praying and praying and praying, you're going through something, they've come down and give you this diagnosis with this disease, and then it's gone. It's been removed. And your faith is what removed it. Your faith in Jesus Christ, because that's what the Word says. And you believe what the Word says. And then you act upon it. You don't keep laying there. You get up and do your household chores. Dodie Osteen, great example. She had cancer. And going through everything, what she was dealing with. And believe me, her head, she was just like you and I. Her head was taking in thoughts. But her faith counteracted that. She went and she prayed for other people. She cleaned her house. As weak a state as she was, she cleaned her house. It wasn't instantaneous. It wasn't immediately. It was time. But she was healed of cancer. She put action to her faith. She put action. She didn't lay there and mollygrub. She got up. So, if that word does not depart from your eyes, you are bound to see yourselves without sickness and without disease. You will, in fact, see yourself as well. But if, however, you do not see yourself without the sickness, then that word here has departed from before your eyes. And even though he wants to make health a reality in your life, he cannot, because you are not acting on his word. See if I can give you this quick little story. It's about me. And it was in the mill years ago. And we had a breakdown. You know, a piece of equipment called a Larry car. It's a charge, piece of charging equipment, charge ovens with. Anyhow, it was raining that night, breakdown, get the crew, go up to take care of the machine. Working on it, just about finished up. I was up on the top of the machine, walking around on a structural beam, and I fell. I was about 15 feet up. I fell, hit a couple things on the way down, and ended up hitting my rib cage right here. When I landed on that beam, I mean, I couldn't breathe. It was like, now, this was back years ago when I was a very young Christian, okay? And we were in classes, just so you know, taking, did you ever see Hagin's Blue Book on Faith? Teaching me? Awesome, okay? I was a new convert and just going to classes and reading that book, and I wanted to live that life. Well, anyhow, I was hurting. And when I was able to get my breath, you know, everybody says, let's get the machine. And we got it done, got it operating. Went back down the office. We stayed down at Ristle. I mean, I was in pain. I was in agony. In the morning when we finished up, I went up to the health center. I figured, okay. And when I went up to the health center, they went in, told them what happened. They took x-rays. And then they come out and they slapped this big thing up, ice-like on the side. And that was not fun. So I'm laying there and I'm like, you know, and they said, well, we got to wait for the doctor to come in, you know. He hasn't started yet. I said, can I go take a shower? And I remember, you go laying down if you ever hurt your ribs and try to get back up. Well, I went in. I took a shower. I came back over, because this was just right outside of where our my locker room was. And I went back over into the health center. Doctor still wasn't in. It's after 8 o'clock. I don't know, this guy, you know, I wasn't impressed with this doctor they had anyhow in the mill. So I went home. I drove home from Pittsburgh. I got home. And at that time, I was into really extreme weightlifting, well, things like that. I got home, and I said, you know, I'm going to go downstairs and work out. I went downstairs, and I started my workout. And the whole time I started working out, I said, because the healed works out. The healed works out. And then when I got done, I mean, and it was hurting extremely. And I kept saying that. I said, this is what I've been learning. This is what I'm going to act on. I laid down and went to grab that bar to do my bench presses. I'm telling you. And it was over 200 pounds, okay? I'll just say. I picked that bar. When that bar went up, and I was sitting there holding it, and it was coming down, I'm telling you, all I kept saying was, the healed in Jesus' name pushes weight. The healed in Jesus. And I kept saying that. And after a while, I pushed the bar up and down. I finished that. By the time I finished my workout that morning, I was a little bit discomforted, but I wasn't hurting like I was. Never, and all I kept saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed, is what I kept saying. I went to bed, and when I got up to go back up for the midnight shift, I wasn't hurting at all. I'd actually forgotten about it. Can you imagine that? I forgot about it. I drove back to work. My crew and everybody said, you know, how you doing? I said, I'm great. And I looked on, and he says, really? He says, yeah. And I said, Jesus healed me, guys. Ooh. Okay. You know, I mean, those are some of the strange things that I would get from my crew. But, you know, I was the boss. Went through that night. And in the morning, I got called in up there to make sure I got to the health center. I says, why? They said, well, you went in yesterday, and you had broken ribs. I went, what? So I went up to the, I went and took my shower, and then I went over. And the doctor, you know, I mean, he's in there, and he starts screaming at me. Where'd I go? What hospital did I go to? I said, I didn't go to no hospital. I went home. And he was just, and he says, son, you got broken ribs. And I'm sitting there, and he says, he walked right over and he pushed on my side. And he pushed me back. I looked at him like, are you crazy, dude? Well, he sat down and he tried all these different things. And I'll tell you, there was a bruise mark there. And I looked and went, all right. Anyhow, he couldn't explain it. I said, okay, now we have to write this up because it's a reportable accident. He took the card and he tore it up. Because he says, somebody made a mistake here. I said, no. I said, God healed me. Basically, he said, and then he was like, get out of my office. Because he was definitely a non-believer. But I acted on my faith at that time. I look back at that story and says, wow. That's why I'm trying to get back to this point. That's why I'm preaching this, I feel. Because God says, we got to get you back established. So guess what? This is for me. You want to take part of it? Enjoy, because there's a lot to go around for each and every one of us. So I give God all the glory for that. But it happened to me when I was just telling Kyle about it the other day when we were talking about it. And then I said, wow. And God said, why don't you just put that in right there? I said, well, sounds like a pretty good place to put it in. So I did. So anyhow, back to our myth. Verse 22 there, it said, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Now the Hebrew word translated health here is marpe. And it is also the word for medicine. So in other words, my words are medicine to their flesh. No side effects to this medicine either. See, when taken according to the directions of the physician Jehovah Rapha, the end results will be healing to all their flesh. Another interesting thing, flesh here is the Hebrew word basar. It means the physical body itself. Okay? My words are medicine to the physical body itself. Really changes that scripture, doesn't it? And you really know what it says. They try to make it simple for us so that we can get on the path of believing. But then when we really get into studying His Word, that's when it starts to become, because we want to know, what did he really say? My words are medicine to the physical body itself. Words. Words. So how do we take this medicine? Well, the first two verses of this passage tell us the directions for taking this medicine. Give attention to, or study God's word, and obey this word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, we're not talking about the physical thing that's beating inside your chest. We're talking about your spirit. Okay? So keep them in the midst of your heart. And again, God's medicine is His words. My words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. But the medicine, like I say, has to be taken according to these directions. And what's the other direction here? Let them, my words, not depart from before your eyes. Keep them right before you. You just keep looking at what the Word says. Look at what the Word says. You look at what the Word says, and you're sitting back there in your 90s giving glory to God because He works the Word. He never speaks doubt or defeated or anything. Does you get tired when you get me or not? Yeah, but guess what? I want to be that good when I'm up there in my 90s. Uncle Frank's going to encourage all of us to make it to 120 because that's where he's going. He knows what the Word says. Amen. See, but too many people, they pray and pray, but they never see themselves with the answer. They just see themselves every time as getting worse and worse. They keep looking at the wrong things. They're looking at symptoms, they're looking at conditions, and they're looking at themselves. They keep looking at themselves. Oh, look at this. Oh, my, look at this. Oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Say amen, brother. I don't see that there no more. And so guess what? If you keep looking at those things, you're going to be walking in unbelief all the time. And when you do that, you are destroying the effects of your praying. Don't be moved by what you feel. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you are hearing. Hearing what others say, what your doctors say, I know they got to give you the facts. But we know the truth. And we got to speak the truth, believe the truth, and then put the action to the truth that we believe. So we need to constantly confirm, even in the face of contradictory evidence, that God has heard our prayers. Because that's what the Word says. It says He's heard us. He hears us every time we speak. Even when you speak the wrong things. So watch what comes out your mouth. But when you're speaking the right things and you're believing in that prayer that you sent forth, believing that you've received, you will get results. Get your mind on the answer. Faith sees the answer, and faith says the answer. You have to believe you've got it before you can receive it. Mark 11, 24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The believing comes before the receiving. There are those Thomases, though, that they say, I'm not going to believe anything I can't see. See, there's no faith in that statement at all, is there? Faith sees it as a done deal. You know how many times... And I was thinking several times, hundreds of times I was with pastor. And we prayed for someone. Then he says, when he got done, he said, it's a done deal. See, I was in total agreement with what pastor prayed. So when he said it, I believed it. That individual laying there, you believe along with us? It's a done deal. That's why he always said, it's a done deal. We prayed. Okay, it's a done deal. Now what do? You get up off of that sick bed and you start doing your thing. You go to work. You cut the grass. You paint the house. You do all those little chores that are on that list. You do them. And you watch how you feel when you get done. You feel great. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? We are to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to you? You don't know my boss. Well, apparently you're not trusting your God. See, because then he only has one boss. And not Eleanor, no, that's God. For him at his shop, God's the boss. God's the owner. That's God's business. And that's the way he talks about it. It's God's business. I'm a steward over this business. And it's a success because he believes in what he's doing and he does it as unto the Lord. His son's the same way. Why do you think his business is a success? It's built upon a firm foundation. Galeno Construction is based off of the Word. And where he's at today, he gives all the glory to God for. Flows the same way. That's why her business is a success. She took off how many months because of an unfortunate accident, and she couldn't go to work. When she got back to her office, though, and into doing her job, the people came right back. They weren't going anywhere. You can't steal from God. A godly person, as Flo is, and in her business, and she speaks over her business, she prays over her business, and her and Charles are praying together over their business. And it just continually grows. The doors will never be shut. Till you decide it's time to retire. So the Word says that we are to boldly say. Well, I find there are too many people that are boldly saying the wrong thing. They're saying things like, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I just can't go on anymore. They're saying, I'm defeated. I'm defeated. But nowhere in this Word does it say we're to boldly say anything like that, is there? None. We are to boldly say, though, it is written, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's the best helper one could ever have. Yeah. A helper is one who aids and assists. You put forth the action, and he'll make sure it will happen for you. I could go a whole nother story about being a helper, because that's how I started out in maintenance, as a millwright helper. In fact, I was a battery millwright helper, which is a job that I volunteered for. My job was to aid and assist my millwright, who I was working for, to get every job done that he got assigned and every breakdown to go on with him, to make sure that when I went up there, whatever tool he needed, I was supposed to make sure I could go get my hands on. Whatever piece of material he needed to fix that equipment, I was to go get it for him. When a bolt needed tightened and somebody had to hold the nut, my job was to hold the nut while he tightened it. I was to be there to aid and assist him to get that equipment back running. And that's what Jesus is there for. He's that helper. He will aid you and assist you to getting you back on your feet. Back to getting you in the position of wherever you're supposed to be. If it's the running back position, he will get you back there and you'll be strong enough to go break through the line and go for a touchdown. So we need to quit saying the wrong things and start saying the right things. So say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my healer. Say, the Lord took my sickness and bore my diseases. Keep speaking the right thing. And keep believing the right thing. Pretty simple. God didn't make it hard. No, he did not. He knew that I'd be up here at this pulpit preaching it. So he didn't make it hard. That way I can articulate it properly through the Holy Spirit in me. Because it's not about me. It's about him. So simply, wrong thinking, wrong believing, and wrong speaking will keep you in a state of unbelief. You'll be weak in faith. You'll walk around with your head down like you've been defeated when you really have the victory. Yeah, you have the victory. See, the devil can't defeat you. Because Jesus already defeated the devil for you. So Satan doesn't defeat you. You defeat yourself. Don't put it on God. Take on the responsibility where it belongs. And you know, if he does defeat you, though, it's because you permitted him to do so. That is a consent of ignorance, folks. God has given us his word to direct us so that our believing will be right. And if our thinking is right and our believing is right, then our talking will be right. Then we can go around and say, the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my strength. Faith not only sees the answer, but it speaks the answer. Speaks the answer. Real faith in the Word says that if God says it's so, then it's so. If His Word says, by whose stripes you were healed, then you are healed. If His Word says that my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then He does. And if you have a financial need and you seem like you never have enough, a little added here from the Holy Ghost, check your tithing. It's your tithing. It's your responsibility. And what is tithing? It is 10% of your gross, not your net. Okay? I'm just pointing this out to you because it will help you. It will help you. It will set you free from the worry in financial realm. Because he says, you give to me, prove me that I'm, you give, that he'll what? Open the windows of heaven for you. He'll open the windows of heaven for you. You won't have to worry about finances anymore. But you know what it takes? It takes faith. It takes an action of faith. For me, the first time that I learned it, I said, action was write the check. Don't question it, write the check. Since that day, I've never worried. I have never worried. I have never missed a payment on anything. Every bill was always paid ahead of time. Ahead of time. And I'm bragging on the Lord here, not on me. Not on me. This is on what he did and what he taught me. And by that, I own my own home. Every car that I have, I own. I don't have a payment for anything. And I attribute that to the teachings here through this ministry. When I was taught about tithing, it changed my life in the financial realm. I became a very wise steward of my finances, because before that, I can tell you what, I lived from paycheck to paycheck. And I made good money. And I ran a body shop on the side, and I could not have enough money. Never had enough money. But now, I don't worry about it, because it's God who brings the increase. I just do what He's told me to do. I tithe. I give offerings. I give alms. And by giving the offerings and alms, okay, you always think, well, I don't have enough to actually give the extra. Yeah, you do. Because when you sow the seed, He's going to return to give you more seed so that you can sow more. And there's always extra left over for you. Don't ever think that that doesn't go unnoticed by God. When you put action to it, it's like a checker playing checkers. You move, He moves. You move, then He moves. I don't want to say it's a game, but it's how it is. You have to move for Him to move. And He will. God has given us His word to direct us so that we might be able to get our believing right. And if our thinking is right and our believing is right, then, as I said, our talking is right. And if He says in His word, the Lord is my strength, He is. See, you can say that. The Lord is my strength. Real faith in God simply says about oneself what the Word says. We have what the Word says we have. Stop saying what you have. Say what the Word says you have. Try it for a while. I'll bet you'll see things start to change. In fact, you'll change. You will change. Because you'll look at things differently. You'll look at your body differently. You'll look at the circumstances differently. That situation that you're involved in, you'll look at it differently. You won't look at it as the world looks at it. You'll look at it through the eyes of faith. And we are what the Word says we are. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and never beneath. We are blessed in the city and we are blessed in the field. And we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And if God says that we are strong, then we are strong. And if He says we are healed, we are healed. If He says He cares for me, then He cares. He cares. Think about that. Just say that He cares for me. Close your eyes and look up. You care for me, Lord. You care for me. And He does. He loves you so much. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Because Jesus is our high priest and He sits at the right hand of God in heaven making intercession for us. So we can have the answers to our petitions right now. In that scripture, Jesus is our high priest. High priests in the natural, in the Jewish, when they were allowed to go in to the Holy of Holies once a year, one time to atone for the sins. One time they were allowed. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we'll look at it as our time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, day in, day out, he's there. We don't have to wait a year. We know that it's going and getting taken care of right then and there. And if you screw up, he's faithful and just to forgive you. So the Greek word, though, for confession here is homologia. And it means to speak the same things. So that should be reading, let us hold fast to saying the same things. We are to say the same things that the Word says about ourselves, because that's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to you and I through his Word. And he wants us to say those same things, because he knows that his Word is full of power. Full of power. So speak his Word. See, Jesus is in heaven, present at the throne of God. Get the concept of that in your head. And he's saying, I took their place. I died for them as their substitute. Substitute. That means in a game, when you take someone out and you substitute them, they're going to take on what you had to do. And you get to sit on the bench and relax. Jesus didn't die for himself, sir. He didn't need to be redeemed. Because he wasn't lost. Get that concept. He was not lost. He died for us. He became our substitute. He took our sins and bare our sicknesses, and he carried our diseases. He died for us. He arose from the dead for us. He ascended on high for us. He's up there now saying, I did that for them. And we are to hold fast to saying the same things down here. Mark 11, 23. Whoever says to this mountain, folks, I encourage you, be a whoever. And says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It isn't just a matter of faith going out of your heart toward God without your saying anything. See, that won't work. Faith kept only in your heart will never bring healing to your body or an answer to your prayer. But faith in your heart, released through your lips, folks, through your lips, means you're talking, with action following, will bring results. What kind of results, Pastor? Physical healing, financial stability, emotional tranquility, spiritual strength. That's what it'll bring. Amen? God bless each and every one of you.